The name of our lesson tonight is profitable. And these are three things in the New Testament that God says is profitable. They're profitable for us and they're profitable for others. And the three things that he says are profitable are godliness, scripture, and good works. Things that are profitable are things that are useful, they're helpful. In some way, they give us an advantage. They produce some sort of gain for us. These things are things that will produce advantage both for us and for other people around us. And as we live out these things, they will produce fruit. You know, God desires for us to be fruitful, and for us to be fruitful for Him, to do the kinds of things He wants us to do, to be profitable for Him and profitable for others and profitable to ourselves, then we need to be godly, we need to know the Scriptures, and we need to do good works. So the first one is that we should be godly. And we see that in 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 9. Paul writes to Timothy, "If you instruct the brethren in these things," that's all the things that he's kind of told him about up to this point, "you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance." So Paul tells Timothy that godliness is the most profitable thing that we can do in our lives, is to be godly. So what does it mean to be godly? It means to be characterized by a Godward attitude. Our attitude and the way that we think needs to always be relative to God. We need to always think about what we're doing and what we're saying and how we're acting relative to Him and what He would want. So it's characterized by our attitude, focusing on Him, and it does the things that are pleasing to Him. It's having a proper attitude and conduct or way of living or lifestyle before God in everything that we do. That's what it means to be godly. Godliness is simply being aware of and responsive to God all the time. That's what godliness is. It's just that simple. It's the sort of things that we've always talked about. It's, you know, watching and praying. It's listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit and realizing that He's within us, allowing Him to guide us. That is godliness, constantly relating to Him as we go through our day and asking Him what He wants us to do and how He wants us to do it and constantly talking to Him. That is what godliness is. It says that we are to exercise ourselves towards godliness, for bodily exercise profits little. Today we have a perception of exercise that I think is different than what Paul was really talking about. To us today, we think about exercise as like going to the gym. We think about it as, you know, running or lifting weights or doing simple exercises, you know, rehab exercises, things like that. That's not so much what he's talking about here. He's talking about, you know, that same word has that same idea of doing things in a way that's disciplined and following some sort of regimen. But here when he says bodily exercise profits little, he's talking more about, you know, focusing on disciplining ourselves and avoiding certain foods and things like that. That's what a lot of the people, the Jewish people, thought they needed to do. A lot of the pagan religions were around that, you know, some sort of bodily control discipline of our body. He says that kind of bodily discipline really doesn't profit much. If we just go through, we make all these rules for ourselves and we avoid these things and we do these things, that kind of discipline doesn't really profit much. The kind of discipline that profits the kind of exercise that profits is when we exercise ourselves towards godliness. We discipline ourselves so that we live each moment of the day not by following a set of rules and neglecting our body or disciplining our body, but by neglecting our will and giving up our will to follow His, disciplining ourselves spiritually, disciplining ourselves in that we are focused on Him and what He wants us to do. That's the kind of discipline that profits. That's the kind of exercise that gives us value and advantage in life. It says, but godliness, exercise of the body, preventing ourselves from doing certain things, following certain rules, has very little profit. It's not that there's no profit, but there's very little. Godliness, on the other hand, has much profit, and it profits in all things. Godliness, having an attitude towards God of submission to Him and paying attention to Him in all things that we do, has profit in every area of our life. It profits us personally. It profits the people that we have relationships with. It profits God in that we serve Him well. That kind of exercise, causing ourselves to pay attention to Him all the time and obey Him, is advantageous for us and for others. It says, this kind of exercise, exercising ourselves towards godliness, has promise of the life that is now and that which is to come. There is a misconception that godliness is about the life to come, about the future, it's about heaven and heavenly reward. But the profit that comes from godliness is not just for heaven and for the future, not just for those rewards. It says that the profit that comes from godliness has promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come. So living a godly life with our perspective focused on Him and doing what He wants us to do is profitable for this life that is now. It's advantageous to us and to others. He says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that we focus on godliness. So of the things that, and really these other two things really are, the scripture is profitable because it helps us to be godly. And then good works are profitable because a godly person does the good works that God wants them to do. A godly person is focused on God. He's leading them. He's empowering them. He's helping them to see His will and to know what it is and to do it. So the good works flow out of the godliness. Scripture helps us to know what God wants. When we are godly and focused on Him rightly, then the good works He wants us to do flows out of that. And it profits us and others here in this life and in the life to come and in heaven. The second thing that's profitable for us is not just the attitude towards God and focus on Him, but the scriptures itself. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17. The scriptures are profitable. They give us an advantage in this life and in the life to come. They produce gain for us and for others. They are helpful and they are useful. They are profitable. So the scriptures, the word there for scripture literally means a writing, a thing written, or a document. So the scriptures at this time was the Old Testament in our current Bible that we have. At the time, the New Testament was being written, and now we have it included in what we consider to be the scriptures. But the word scripture literally means a writing. Now, the scriptures, when we say the scriptures, isn't just anything written down. It is a specific type of writing. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. So the kind of writing that he's talking about here is not just Christian writing. It's not just the writing of philosophers. It's not just the writing of smart people, scientists, or whatever. It is specifically writings that were written down by the inspiration of God. Inspiration of God means that God caused or moved or wrote through the person that wrote it. So when we talk about the author of these different books in the Bible, we'll say that it's Moses or that it's Paul or that it's John. But they are the person that it was written through, but the true author is God. So all Scripture is writings that were written down by the inspiration of God. These are the things that are profitable. Not just any kinds of writings, not even other Christian writings. Even though there is value in them, the value in those Christian writings is in them helping us to understand this writing that God gave us, this document that He wrote for us. Now, this document that God inspired, this writing that He wrote through people, is profitable for four things. We get advantages from this book in four different ways. The first way that we get an advantage from this book is that it's profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is teachings. It's the truths that we are to believe. It's the things that we're supposed to believe. So God teaches us everything that He wants us to believe. All the truths that He wants us to understand are given to us in this document that He wrote through those people. So it's profitable in that way that we can know every kind of truth that God wants us to know. Secondly, it's profitable for reproofs. So a reproof is a pointing out ways that we're wrong. So this thing helps us by teaching us everything that we need to know. It also helps us by showing us where we are not what God wants us to be. It reproves us. It points out wrongness in us. You know, Paul talks about in one place that he would not have known that covetousness or envy was a sin unless the scriptures were written down that told him that in the Ten Commandments. That's where he learned that from. The law taught him that. So it reproves us. It shows us where we're wrong. So it teaches us everything we need to know. Second, it shows us what's wrong in our life. And then third, it corrects us. It's profitable for correction. Once it has pointed out wrongness in our life, it also helps us to understand how to correct that wrongness that's in our lives. The last way that it's profitable for us is for instruction in righteousness. So the difference, so you've got doctrine is all the truths that we need to know about God and about ourselves and about others and about the world that we live in. Reproof and correction is here's where you're wrong, here's how you can fix it. Instruction in righteousness is kind of the positive side of that. How do we live right and stay out of wrong to begin with, right? So the scriptures are profitable in that way. So if we want to know how can I live my life on the path that God wants me to live in, live it the way that He wants so I can live righteously or rightly before Him, the scriptures is where that information is. So the scriptures teaches us all we need to know about God, about ourselves, and about one another. It shows us where we're wrong. It shows us how to get right. And it teaches us how to stay out of the wrong, how to live right to begin with. That's instruction in righteousness. So this book, this document, this writing is profitable to us in these ways, teaches us what we need to know, where we're wrong, how to get right, and how to stay right, in order that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So this book, this writing that God has given us, will help us to become complete, help us have everything that we need in order to be able to do what God wants us to do. So when we're trying to live a godly life, we're trying to live a life that's focused on God and what He wants us to do, live in such a way that pleases Him, where we conduct our lives and our lifestyle in a way that He wants us to. The scriptures help us do that. They give us all the things that we need to know, a complete toolkit, so that we can live a godly life, so that we'll be equipped to do all the things that He wants us to do. It's just like when we go on a job. It's part of our boss's responsibility to provide us with the equipment that we need. If we're a welder, our boss is supposed to provide us with a welder. If we're a computer programmer, he's supposed to provide us with a computer. Whatever our job is our boss to equip us for that job. our God has put us on his job site in this world, and the scriptures is the equipping, is the thing that he has given us to equip us to do that job. Everything that we need to be able to do it, he has given to us through the scriptures. Now, the scriptures were all inspired by God. They are his words. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 16 through 21 says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place." "Until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." And one thing that we need to understand is, is that everything that God wants us to know and needs us to know in order to be complete for all the works he wants us to do, in order to be thoroughly equipped for every good work, he has given us in the scripture. He has written it down through people. And this is God's word. But he also speaks in ways beyond what's written here. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit, and he speaks to us through other people. But we need to realize that when he speaks through other people, that we have to be careful that that is all compared to what's in the scriptures. So we need to be careful that we don't allow people to mislead us in the things that they teach. This is something that Joe and I are both very concerned about, that the things that we teach you are accurate and right and that they come from the scriptures. We're also very concerned that you guys, know what the scriptures say on your own as well, so that you can keep an eye on us. Because either through ignorance or some people on purpose will mislead us. And it's interesting what you see here. So here in this verse, it says that he received from God, that's Jesus, the Father, honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, that is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, and we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. So whose voice did they hear there? Whose voice was speaking to them? God. So this is Peter writing here. So Peter, when he was on the mountain, remember Jesus and Peter, James, and John went up on the mountain, and Jesus was transfigured. He became this bright, glowing person. And God the Father spoke out of a cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." It says, "And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which we do well to heed as a light that shines in the darkness until the day dawns and the morning star rises in our hearts." So the prophetic word that he's talking about here is the Old Testament prophets that were written in the scriptures. So by the voice of God speaking, what was written in the Old Testament was confirmed that Jesus was the Messiah that was predicted. So when God said that about Jesus, they knew that he was the one that was talked about in the Old Testament. Then he goes on to say, "Knowing first this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." So it's interesting that he says, we had this witness of God, this voice that told us about who Jesus was. Other prophets have received words from God and they have spoken. During the time that the New Testament was being written, other prophets were speaking for God and they were telling them things, because they didn't have all the scriptures yet. But he says, first of all, even ahead of what people speak, that the first and most important thing is the prophecy of the scriptures, the prophecies that God had written down. The words that came from God that he wrote, those are first and primary, because they are the ones that he gave us to equip us, to prepare us for everything that we need to know. We've talked about here before, you know, there's two words in the Bible that refer to words from God, him talking to us. One of them is translated word a lot. So like the word of God, the word of Christ, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. That word means a spoken word. And God speaks to us. Another place he talked about that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Father. God is talking to us all the time. He speaks to us directly. He speaks to us through other people. But all of those spoken words that we hear are to be compared to the scriptures, because it becomes first. The prophecy of scripture was not from any person, but it came directly from God, and he had it written down. So the second profitable thing that we need to focus on in our lives is the scriptures. We need to know what it says. We need to read it. We need to each read it for ourselves, since we have copies of it and are able to read, so that we can know what is said there is true, know what the truth is, know what the doctrines are. So when we hear other people teaching us, whether it's me or Joe or somebody else, we'll know whether or not what the teaching is true. We'll understand the doctrines. Also, by reading it ourselves, we get reproved and corrected when we hear other people talk about it, but it's even better when we read it ourselves. And then finally, when we read the scriptures for ourselves, we get instructed in righteousness. We learn how to live correctly. So the point I wanted to make from Peter is that the scriptures are first in priority in revelation that we get from God. What other people tells us comes second, what they speak to us. And we have to even be careful of what we think that God is saying to us, because we can deceive ourselves easily and compare it to what the scripture says, because this is sure. That's the interpretation of that Peter verse in the King James I kind of like, because it says we have a more sure word of prophecy in the written down scriptures. We can be more sure and confident of this than even what we think God has told us, because we can lie to ourselves, our own heart can deceive us, and other people can, on purpose or by accident, tell us things that are wrong. This is the most sure word that we have from God. So we need to, it's very profitable to us to read it for ourselves and to know it. So God, the profitable things in life is living a godly life, focused on God, trying to live according to how he is leading and guiding us. He has given us the scriptures, which are profitable for us to know the truth, profitable for helping us to correct our problems, and profitable for helping us to avoid problems in the first place by instructing us in righteousness. The third profitable thing that the scriptures talk about in the New Testament is good works. It says in Titus 3:8, "This is a faithful saying. In these things I want you to affirm constantly that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men." So the people who should be careful to maintain good works are all those who have believed in God. So we've believed in God. We've trusted in Jesus. Therefore, we need to maintain good works, because this is profitable. It says it's profitable to men. So the good works that we do as we serve God are profitable to all people. They're profitable to us individually. They're profitable to our brothers and sisters. And they're profitable to the unbelievers in the world around us. So good works are acts or deeds or things that are done. They're every activity undertaken for Christ's sake under the direction of the Holy Spirit. There are lots of things that are considered good works in the world. And there are lots of things that just people all over the world do that are considered good works. Helping somebody that's poor. There's a storm comes through. They come and cut down trees and help them clear out the roads. All those things are good works. The kinds of good works that God is talking about here are the ones that He leads us to do. It includes those kinds of things. Helping the poor, cutting down trees, you know, helping somebody with some food, helping somebody with a house, whatever. All the different kinds of things that we can help people with. Also helping them with spiritual things. All of the things that God leads us to do, the good works that He wants us to do, we need to be careful to do them. Being careful means taking the time and putting forth the effort to make sure that we do the things God wants us to do. So if we're going to be a profitable person in the world, profitable to God, profitable to ourselves, profitable to other people, there are three aspects to that that the scriptures talk about in the New Testament. The primary one is that we try to be godly, that we try to have a continuous attitude of thinking about everything relative to God, and then trying to please Him, trying to obey Him in all the things that we do. The tool that He gave, or the way that He gave us to help equip us and to make us complete so that we have everything we need to be able to be that godly person, is the Scriptures. He gave us this book, this document. He had these things written down. He spent a couple of thousand years. That's a long time working on this project for us. He spent a couple of thousand years having people write down words for us, write down His words, exactly the way that He wanted them written down, so that we would know what to believe, so that we would know where we were wrong, we'd know how to fix it, and then we would learn how to live like He wants us to live, so that we would become a person who could do the kinds of good works that He wants us to do. And one of the things that's very important about this book that He gave us is that this is the way that we both judge ourselves, because we'll lie to ourselves. You know, our heart, the scripture says, you know, this book tells us that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We will tell ourselves that we're better than we are. We need something like this that's subjective, that we can read, that will tell us what we are. It'll also tell us what other people are. It gives us, there's all kinds of wisdom in there that helps us to see what other people are as well. And also it helps us to know how to both help ourselves and how to help others. So we need to also use it to compare the prophetic word that we hear from other people. When other people speak and say they're speaking on God's behalf, we need to make sure that the things that they say matches what He said in here, and not allow ourselves to be deceived either by a person who is trying to do well and is ignorant and teaching wrongly, or someone who is trying to deceive. So these are the things that God says in the world will give us profit. You know, it's interesting how it's so the world's perspective that profit is a very different thing, right? From the world's perspective, what's profit is owning things, enjoying things, having things, having family and friends. Those are all good things. Nothing particularly wrong with them, but that's the world's perspective of what's profitable. God's perspective of the most profitable things in the world, first of all, is our godly attitude, a desire to please Him. Secondly, this book that He has given us. And thirdly, the third most profitable thing is good works that we do for Him and for others. It's a very different perspective. That's, you won't see that kind of profit in the world around us. In our society, profit is considered to be financial gain primarily. But for God, profit is these things: a godly attitude, the scriptures that He gave us, and the good works that we do for Him.